And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
Okay, we on now? All right, well, welcome back, folks. This is an interesting one because I actually got like three different people asking roughly the same question, so I figured I'd just lump them all in together, figuratively speaking, and we're not actually going to get involved in, you know, attaching anyone to anyone else because these are just messages, not actual people. And generally speaking, if you're going to attack people together physically, it's a good idea to at least get permission or signed waiver as best possible here if you can. So this question actually comes from Amanda and Jeff and Scylla, and they're all talking about do possums or armadillos make better roadkill minions? What type of roadkill minion is the most effective? If you bag a rattlesnake, what do you do with it? Now, Scylla, I gotta admit, I'm kind of bringing you in on a technicality here, because the basic theory here is that once you get a hold of some critter, you're gonna do something with it. That's the way it generally works out here. I ain't like a lot of those folks that have them TV shows where they run up and just irritate an animal and then scamper away laughing and in Australian and stuff. And really, when you're down here where I am, out here in Atchafalaya, Lucas-Hakata County, down here in northern southeast Texas, you're going to run into a number of different kind of critters that you might just encounter who have had an unfortunate encounter themselves with a motorized vehicle, and giving you the opportunity as it is to increase your head count, so to speak. And you got your possums, yeah, your armadillos, snakes, of course, your alligators, and nutria. Now, nutria, if you've never seen a nutria, it's like a really, really large, it's like a beaver got drunk and went and had a wonderful evening with a squirrel, and then 9 months later, their mutant child appears, and with very much like a bicycle, thank you very much. Nutria are these gigantic critters, and despite their name, there's not a whole lot of actual nutrition value in those things, first and foremost, because you're probably going to be beat up, tired, exhausted, and pretty famished by the time you catch one of them dang things. And secondly, because, well, let's be completely frank about this, there are some things that, you know, you just can't put enough Creole seasoning on to make worth eating. I guess I'm going to put it that way. I mean, you know, you can do something with a beaver tail if you're really motivated and heavily old-school Catholic, but nutria is just one of them critters. Now, I'm also going to talk a little bit about this whole undead minions thing, because that seems to be a common thread in all of these conversations. And the first thing y'all got to remember here is that very rarely, if ever, do you set out and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise me an undead army of swamp critters. Partially because, well, the swamp is already full of live critters that you can frequently convince to at least go and attack things that you don't like, as opposed to telling them to go forth and conquer in your name. And by the way, if you're gonna do that, make sure you're on the highest possible ground and there's no way for them to swarm up and eat you. I don't want to have another conversation like I had to have with my Aunt Lucille about Uncle Joe. It's just, you know, it's embarrassing, it's uncomfortable. And Joe was certainly uncomfortable. Well, the bits of Joe that we were able to patch back together again, I'll just say that. Joe don't travel off the porch much no more, but he is certainly a veritable repository of admonitions and advice, especially when it comes to raising an undead horde of critters to go take over the Kmart so we can finally get that senior discount he's been trying to get for the last 14 years. But I digress, and that's probably par for the course. But anyway, we'll get back to the critters themselves. See, if you're gonna go out and raise yourself an undead army of critter minions, well, there's several things you gotta involve yourself in if you're gonna get critter minions in general. First, you gotta capture them, and then you gotta train them. Now, if they're already dead, first you gotta raise them, and then you gotta raise them, if you follow what I'm saying here. That's actually the title of an informative pamphlet I'll be putting out in a few weeks with some illustrations here and there, all carefully hand-drawn by Uncle Joe, who's getting very good at using the remaining three fingers on his left hand when he's not completely overtaken by the crawling horrors. But that's another conversation for another time. Another thing about raising undead critters, I mean, going back to the question from back in the second one of these things about the undead pig, I mean, let's be completely honest about this. Once you've got yourself an undead critter, you got some slightly different approaches to animal husbandry, which may be... And by the way, I want to make this very clear. I don't care what it sounds like. Don't do that. Don't do that with an undead critter. Don't do that with a live critter. Neither one of them will appreciate it. All right? Meanwhile, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, actually, you know, yeah, that was about the undead critters there. You can train them to do some basic stuff, more or less. Go over here, go over there. If you, you know, take an old Curad box and you duct tape it to them, you can carry, carry small messages and things like that. If you're lucky enough to get something that already has a tracking collar on it, they're surprisingly effective portable Wi-Fi stations. You just kind of make sure they don't go shuffling off out of range, because you'll eat the face of some unsuspecting tourist or something, because that always raises a lot of questions and a couple of eyebrows, and then you have to kind of hang out for a while farther away than you really want to from the beaten path, just because, you know, pitchforks and torches. Torches will actually stay lit in the swamp, but you got to really put a lot of effort into it. You got to use a lot more pitch in your torch than in your lamp oil, because lamp oil will just kind of sputter and smoke. But actual pitch, which, by the way, pitchforks are not made out of, nor are they made for the manipulation thereof. All right, Willie, that's the point. That's a fact. Please stop trying to do that, okay? I've already put you out 3 times this month, and I do not want to have to do it again. So, you can train him for some basic stuff, really. But possums are pretty good because they basically got hands. Now, you can train raccoons too, but raccoons, well, we trained up an army of raccoons once, and then they went unionized and told us that they were a anarcho-syndicalist commune, and they wanted their own zip code and their own mailbox. And, well, after a little while, we just said, okay, fine. We put them in charge of the 7-Eleven, and they seem to be pretty happy with that. I don't know how much business they do, but the place is always jumping right around 3 o'clock in the morning. They can't keep the garbage cans upright to save their lives, but otherwise they're fairly productive members of society. Now, I got a question here. Do gators make good boots of escaping or bags of holding? And that question there comes from... That comes from, I can try to read this here, Miranda. That's from Miranda. Hi, Miranda. Appreciate you asking the question. Do gators make good boots of escaping or bags of holding? Not initially, no. Because you've got an entire live animal on your hands, and you're going to have to do what they call processing in order to turn it into something productive and useful. Now, if you're going to do that, first of all, you got to get yourself an alligator, and then after that, you got to make sure it's an alligator and not a weir alligator like I talked about in the first episode, because, well, the weir alligators, you know, you can go ahead and gut and skin one of those, but it gets real hard to explain to the authorities afterwards, and that's kind of why I'm not really allowed down in the swamps in Florida no more, and I got to stay over here in Texas, and that's not the worst thing in the world because I think the food's better, but, you know, I'm... Anyway, getting back to that there, you gotta make sure it's not a weir alligator. You gotta make sure the weir alligator is actually dead, because if it's not and you try to separate it from its skin, it's going to get incredibly unhappy at you. And when an alligator, weir or not, gets unhappy at you, it tends to get kind of flaily and bitey and thrash you over the head with a tail and grab you with its little stubby legs and try to hold you underwater and have a contest to see who can hold their breath the longest underwater, and it gets a little complicated there. Now, once you have ensured that this alligator is dead and not a weir alligator, not necessarily in that order, but there it is, you got to separate the squishy bits from the scaly bits, Now, you can keep the squishy bits. As a matter of fact, your average alligator is good for several gallons worth of squishy bits, many of which can be reutilized and put back into the economy, so to speak. There's a big market out there for alligator meat, and there's a slightly smaller market out there for alligator bones and blood and all the other gizzards and giblets and such. And if you've never had a good fried alligator giblet, I gotta tell you, it takes some effort to get them suckers open, but it is worth it. I tell you right there, you get yourself a nice cold beer on a hot day, and you are going to feel pretty happy by the end of it. Now, once you've done all the separating of the squishy bits from the scaly bits, you got to learn how to make, either know how to make the shoes or moccasins or your handbag, or hire somebody already does know. And I got to tell you, there is a lot of craft in the dark craft. There's arts and crafts in the dark arts and crafts. And let's be honest about this. You pretty much have to roll your own in a lot of these situations now. And don't go thinking that you're going to be able to find a shortcut by teaching one of your undead minions some arts and crafts. Because while it's actually not that hard to teach them how to perform basic tasks, there's always the danger, I think, the challenge, really, to make sure you have what your engineer likes to refer to as scope. I got a case in point here now, about three counties over, my second cousin on my father's side, Jimbo, he had himself a real nice undead minion. Nice fella, didn't say much, real thoughtful, deep, still waters run deep, and he told that there minion that he wanted to make some mucklucks out of these, all these nutria that we caught, and he said, "Don't take some of the nutria and make some mucklucks out of them." And he taught him how to make mucklucks and gave him the muckluck making equipment, and it was all ready to make a little side business selling mucklucks online. But he forgot to give like a when to stop order. If I think that's the technical term, I think the software engineers out there probably have a better answer to that than I do. But all we really know is that Jimbo went off for a long weekend, and we come back, that swamp was completely and utterly depleted of nutria, and we had about 10,000 pairs of mucklucks, and this one very tired-looking undead minion just cheerfully sewing and stapling and gluing and going out and catching more nutria, and he kept going farther and farther afield until he wound up in Arkansas, and there are very few nutria in Arkansas, I just gotta mention that. So if you're going nutria hunting, you can pretty much avoid Arkansas entirely. And what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.